And we're live from the living room as Doug eyes up the matchday spread. He's reaching for the Buffalo wing. Perfect. Hang on, what's this? Oh, he's gone for a can of Pepsi too. Incredible. What a finish. Sensational combination. Look at the delight on his face. There's no doubt about it. It just tastes better. Match days deserve Pepsi. Food deserves Pepsi. Grab a pack of Pepsi Zero Sugar for today's match. It's poetry in motion.
Mornings have a rhythm. You can hear it, feel it. And at Quaker, we fuel it. With 100% whole grain oats and a good source of fiber in every bowl, helping you turn that rhythm into your soundtrack for a great day. Fuel to start whatever's next. Quaker, official sponsor of FIFA World Cup 26.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Y'all ready?
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Receiving the Living Legend Icon Award tonight is none other than
Rich Eisen.
You gotta be freaking kidding me. I can't believe it.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Today's guests: actor Lionel Boyce, ESPN senior NBA writer Brian Windhorst, actor Joe Lotrulio. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. How you been here on The Rich Eisen Show? I'm back in the chair, everybody. I'm not tanned, and I'm definitely not rested. We call it a trip, not a vacation, when you're on vacation with three kids. But I'm thrilled to be back here on this program, and thanks to everybody that hung with this show last week. Tommy P and Kirk Morrison, and also Andrew Siciliano, everybody that sat in the chair. And you, 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the program. Locked into the World Cup in every possible way. It has been a fascinating watch. The NBA free agency appears to be off the rails already a couple of days before the new league year. The draft is in the books. I lost my basketball national champion coach. I mean, so Giannis got traded to the Heat after I told him years ago, don't do that. So much to hit on this program with you. Three in-studio guests. Brian Windhorst is going to join us at the top of hour two. In studio for 40 full minutes.
Woo,
for us
windy.
To ask him what is going on, what is rumor, what is conjecture, what is real, what is happening, what might happen. That's all to come on this program in hour number two. Two in studio guests on either side of an in-person visit from Brian Windhorst in hour two. Hour three, Joe Lotrulio, the delightful Jet fan and one of our favorites on this program. He is coming in support of the film Gail Daughtry and the Celebrity Sex Pass that's available in theaters coming up in a couple of Fridays on July 10th. He will be here. And then in our green room right now is the man who plays Marcus in the brilliant show The Bear on FX and Hulu.
Hello.
Lionel Boyce is in our green room. He's going to join us in about 20 minutes time before we dive fully into what's going on in the NBA world. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Win-loss game still white hot to the touch. And also, it's an overreaction Monday in hour three. Good to see you, Christopher Brockman. I believe this
Rich,
stage is set.
Great to see you. Welcome
Thank
back,
you,
my
sir.
Friend.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts, working the faders. What's
morning,
going on,
Rich.
Mike Del Tufo?
How you doing?
How are you? Good to see you.
Good morning. Here.
TJ Jefferson, the candle's lit over there. What's going on, man?
Welcome back. I'm going to be honest with you. I can't believe I'm saying this.
Yeah.
It felt like we were spinning off the rails a little bit last week, so I'm glad you're back.
What do you mean? What do you mean spinning off the rails?
I'm just saying, you know, we were all over
the place. Did I miss anything?
I don't know what that means.
Okay.
We were just all over the place.
Okay, good. But I'm glad that we're...
You're back, and now you're going to...
You're pulling you back in?
Yeah.
Sort of Godfather part.
You can't give us too much.
Well, I'm pulled back in, that's for sure.
Welcome so
back.
Again, there is a lot happening in the NBA that's maybe happening. Draymond Green has rejected a player option that is apparently not him desiring to leave, but actually, according to Shams, opening the door for the flexibility for the Warriors to run it back between LeBron and Anthony Davis to go to Golden State? Again, we'll talk about that possibility. There's also the return to sender that might be working just up the road at Intuit Dome, returning Kawhi to Toronto.
It's crazy.
That's possibly in the ether as well. So lots to talk about with Brian Windhorst, and I'll unpack my thoughts on the possibilities of that happening later on. But I do want to hit a couple of subject matters that I did not hit because I was out of the chair and on vacation on a trip with Suze and the kids. I also unplugged, okay? I really did unplug to the point where Cooper let me know Antonio Freeman was a guest on the show to talk about his son scoring in the World Cup against Australia. Had no idea. By the way, great conversations.
Yeah, that was good.
And so I didn't do the, you know, hey, here I am on vacation, but I got to take some time to give you 2 cents by flipping my phone around on myself. And I'm just going to talk about it here. I could not have been more gut punched and disappointed that Dusty May was leaving the University of Michigan.
You didn't have a heads up?
The Dallas Mavericks, no idea. Not a single inkling. I saw Dusty just last month when I hosted a coaches forum for the University of Michigan here in Southern California, when Dusty was here with the rest of the coaching staff for the Big Ten meetings down the road here in Southern California. I had no sense of it at all. He didn't seem unhappy. He didn't seem edgy. He didn't seem anything. But Jason Kidd was still the coach of the Dallas Mavericks at the time. You know? And I was just absolutely gut punched that this happened with Dusty. But I can't blame him. I cannot. I don't know how much they're even paying him. And it doesn't matter if John Shire was offered the job first and said, no, I'm staying at Duke, which is the rumor. And yet, listen, if you're the Mavericks, you want to get Cooper Flagg's coach, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And say, would you like to continue coaching Cooper Flagg? But if you're Dusty May and you're in this world where of college athletics, where you have to re-recruit everybody every year, and you're going into the transfer portal every year, and you're out there, you know, trying to get your NIL dollars up, staying competitive in that regard, and you just hung a banner, and the Mavericks are like, would you like to come to the NBA where there are actual collectively bargained rules involving contracts and free agents and scheduling and everything else, with an off season for you and your family, an actual off season where you'll be able to, you know, hang out. And you can do that and coach Cooper Flagg with Kyrie Irving coming back and a whole new way of looking at the Dallas Mavericks in the front office. And you can do that. And 4 years ago, you're in Florida Atlantic under the same rules that you're still trying to win with at Michigan. Kind of don't blame him. I just don't know what Michigan did to try and keep him. I don't know if it was even possible. You're hearing rumors he was grinding gears with the athletic director and vice versa. But the bottom line is, you know, I can't blame him. Who the hell wants to coach college anymore?
John Shire.
I guess you're right. And everybody else that's staying put.
There's a lot of them.
But Shire might be the only one that was offered the job to come to the Dallas Mavericks and coach Cooper Flagg.
And say no.
you know, and everybody is like, wow, he took Morez Johnson over Adai Mara and Yaxel. That was a surprise, too. I thought he would take Adai Mara.
Maybe it wasn't his choice.
But, yeah, I mean, he just...
Morez is a terrific rebounder, kid, player. It might be the best professional that out of the entire team. It's entirely possible that it happens.
I mean,
Yaxel also, you know, plays the same. He's got Cooper Flagg, so you're not taking Yaxel for that position. Listen, I wish him the best. Everything that he left for Michigan, he left a banner in the rafters, man. Yeah, I just thought we could start.
What more did you ask for?
Well, a dynasty. And him staying there.
Yeah, but
and
you
him
know,
being there.
In today's climate, a dynasty is tough.
I hear you. And Coach Boynton, who is now having to fill the shoes, you know, I'd love to see him sitting on a bench just like Michigan State. Like that photograph we just put up of Dusty May. This is what I'll remember, is just as much as him cutting down the net. Put it up one more time. Him showing up and saying, hey, I don't care. I don't care. I'm going to sit on Izzo's bench in front of these kids yelling at me because I know I've got the better team, the better sense of everything. I know this is a rivalry. I know I'm just new to it, but we're confident. We're Michigan. And it was so great. I'll never forget this moment, especially since, again, every kid that you see behind Dusty, loving their team, loving Izzo. Not a chance they could have gotten into Michigan without a little bit of help. All right, I'm sure I'm wrong about that. Incredible. Incredible. What a run.
Wow.
Too brief. Wish it could stay. I again, when we have Windhorst in hour number two, I want to know about whatever he knows about the Mavericks, when they knocked on his door, whether Michigan tried their best to keep him. Could they even come close to what the Mavericks were offering? So, I can't blame him, is the headline. Nor do I want to. Thanks for the banner, Dusty.
Let me see.
Yeah. He sent me these. I got the little baggies.
Confetti, baby.
My rod of Michigan basketballs. A piece of the net and some confetti.
Never take that away from me.
I don't know. I got to take them out of the baggies. It looks like a Lunchable. Anything else?
A lunch.
So that happened.
Yeah, that's big news.
And then, you know, what's old is new again. Nostalgia. That's why I'm loving doing this series. This was SportsCenter. I think people are digging it.
Oh, yeah.
See the reactions.
They definitely are.
Showing everybody the latest episode with Chris Fowler, the old days of him interviewing Emmett Smith as the first subject interviewee of Scholastic Sports America in 1986, and then the first College Game Day on the road in Notre Dame. You know, everything is old new. It's old as new again. At least I'm trying to make it that way now that I celebrated a birthday while I was gone. By the way, Craig Kilborn's the next episode and final episode of season one of This Was Sports Center coming up on Friday. It's going to be a classic. But the reason why I bring this up is you just never know what's going to come around again and what's relevant again. Years ago, I came up with what still stands today, I believe, the worst take I've ever had on this program. When the Miami Heat, fresh off of shocking everyone in the bubble by making an NBA Finals against a Lakers team that, by the way, talking about what's old is new again, LeBron and Anthony Davis may run it back one more time.
Somewhere else, but
they may run back from that championship season that everyone who likes to slag on the Lakers, certainly here in this studio, talks about an asterisk championship. But the Heat went on a heck of a run. And everyone was like, maybe they should trade for Giannis. And I'm like, don't do that. You're not going to, don't give up Tyler Hero for him. Don't give up the core of your future for him. Hey, he stayed put in Milwaukee, won a championship, made my take even worse. Oh, I was gone. Guess who traded for Giannis by sending Tyler Hero in part of the package?
Those Heat.
The Heat got Giannis after all. 6 years later. And now here comes the take again. He gave up too much for him. Hero and Hawkes.
Who's left to play with?
Yeah. And a pick swap here. I mean, I won't even get into this thing. I mean, this thing's a ripple in a pond that will have reverberations all the way to the 2033 draft. It's an unprotected first-round pick. Unbelievable that seven drafts from now, we'll be talking about this trade. Will there be a trophy in the case? Interestingly enough, though, they got Bobby Portis, too, who we all know is no slouch.
Right.
Right? But you trade for Giannis 6 years later. And the question is, and I'll throw it open to the group, because I didn't know what your take was last week. Am I right? Or will my take just be new again with the same old moniker of worst take I've ever had in the history of this program? It feels like it's too much.
Feels like it's too late.
Too much, too late.
Yeah. Who's playing with them? I think that's the biggest
thing. Well, Bam is.
Right. It's Bam, it's Giannis, and it's who else? Are they better than the Knicks? No.
Wow. By the way, ask that again. Can you ask that question again?
Are they better than the Knicks? They're the defending champs. I'm going to put them first out of respect.
Thank you, sir.
Are they better than the Pistons, Orlando, Boston, Atlanta, Cleveland?
I was with Coop.
I think that's nose across the board.
And the entire Schuster family.
Yeah.
They were relieved that the Celtics didn't trade Jaylen Brown for Giannis.
Well,
they were relieved. Now, Jaylen could be gone in the next 48 hours anyway.
Seems likely at this point.
But they were relieved.
Well,
they didn't do it.
I question their basketball acumen.
Really? You wanted Giannis? You would have traded Jaylen Brown for Giannis.
I don't want to break up the Jays, but if that was the trade and the offer, yeah, a one for one and some first round picks that you don't really know what it's going to be, a one for one, the Boston is still an elite team in the East. Miami acquired him, and they're still going to be a play-in team.
You know what? I think that's why clearly the Bucks traded him to Miami. This offer is way better than even Jaylen Brown and a couple of picks.
Yeah, if your philosophy is we are going to take, this is what I said last week, if you're going to take the Oklahoma City, acquire endless picks and say, tell your fans, hey, the blueprint is what they did in OKC.
Yeah.
So in a couple of years, this could be us in theory. Then yeah, that's the good plan. If your plan is to sell tickets and try to win games now, you know, you probably should have taken the bona fide superstar in Jaylen Brown.
And the crazy thing, man, is that this take is back 6 years later.
Right.
And
the team that you said don't do it did it.
Right. Because they also had Jimmy Butler at the time, who might be part of the LeBron AD reunion in Golden State at the end of the day.
Wild.
Can't make it up.
I think Jimmy would be gone, though, in that case.
You think?
How can they keep all of them?
When is Jimmy coming back, too? I mean, he's still recovering.
Yeah, that part.
Who the hell knows?
I don't know.
I think.
Hell knows? You're going to put anything past anything right now?
No.
Chris, I think the Heat waited. They knew Rich was gone out of the chair.
That's
their
being in the move.
I saw that. I'm like, I cannot believe my terrible take from 2020 is back. 2026?
I can just think back to when you were saying it, and I was still kind of new here, and I wasn't sure if it was okay for me to push back on you. Now I know that you're fine with it, but I sat here, and it was the day three, and I was just sitting here like, oh my gosh, I got to say something. I got to say something.
Well, I thought I was vaccinated from that opinion, and sure enough, I was back in 2020, the first guy I knew who was fully vaccinated who got COVID.
Need a booster, Rich.
And here I am.
Yeah, you were the first in the group here.
Needed the booster.
Yeah, you remember that?
Yeah, I was like, oh no. Oh no.
I wound up on CNN talking about it. I was one of the first anybody had ever heard of.
I was like, guys, this is not good for
us.
Oh
God. And now here's my take back.
Wild days.
Damn it.
Wild days.
I cannot believe the Heat traded for Giannis, and I'm sitting here thinking, do I go on the show again and say, why did they do that? Why did they do that? I love Hawkes, man. He's a great basketball player, and I use the word great. And hero. By the way, give it up to the Bucks. I kind of like that trade, too.
Yeah, we'll see if he ends up sticking around.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Windhorst joining us in hour number two to talk about all of this and what is happening with Golden State. Are the Clippers sending Kawhi back to Toronto? What is going on with Jaylen Brown? Is there anything there? By the way, LaMelo Ball traded.
Major.
The Timberwolves major. Flipping the script on everything going on.
Yep.
You know, it's unreal that Naz Reid is sent. I know that people love him.
Love Naz Reid.
Oh, yeah.
In Minnesota. And it's odd that that LaMelo Ball is also included in a trade involving a guy with the last name Green, because that's the way he sees red when he's behind the wheel of a car. Sorry.
Well, no, he doesn't see red.
No, I'm just,
you know, he just goes.
No, he sees green when he sees red.
Full speed ahead.
He goes.
Have your head on a swivel, Minneapolis. 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the program. Lionel Boyce of The Bear coming up next.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Rich Eisen here with some advice. If high-interest credit card debt is grinding you down, it might be time to call an audible with a SoFi personal loan. It consolidates your debt into one low monthly payment with no fees required. And with as soon as the same day funding, you can make the right play fast. Call an audible on your debt today at SoFi.com/debtplay. Loans originated by SoFi Bank N.A., member FDIC. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS 696891. Fast funds terms apply at SoFi.com/debtplay.
A bandwagon fan. The biggest insult in sports. But this summer, during the FIFA World Cup, it's an invitation, America. Never watched soccer before? Perfect. Think a corner kick is a karate move? Sure, why not? Prefer sports where players can use their hands? Me too. Just here for the snacks? Now we're talking. So grab a bag of Lay's and jump on the bandwagon. We're undefeated. Lay's, the official sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
Rich Eisen here. You can always tell when something big is happening in a city. I know what it's like when I'm traveling for big games and events. I remember being in Pittsburgh earlier this year and experiencing the beautiful architecture and passion those fans have for their home teams. That was so infectious. Now, it was a great trip. But you know what it's like dealing with the travel. The airport is packed. Hotels are booked up. Restaurants all busy. And when you have that kind of influx of visitors in your city, a lot of them are searching for a place that feels a little bit more like home during their trip. That's why this can be a smart time to think about listing your own space on Airbnb. If you've got plans to be away this summer, consider listing your space on Airbnb while you're gone and earn some extra cash. It's simple. You're already traveling, so your place doesn't just sit empty while your city is busy. And from my experience on the road, having a comfortable home base can change the whole experience of a trip. So whether it's a big sports weekend, a concert series, or a major event coming to your area, this could be the right time to list your space on Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Radio audience has returned. The man who plays Marcus, the dessert chef, on FX's The Bear, fifth and final season of this fantastic show. Lionel Boyce is here on the program. The thing I love about the show, as you just mentioned again, and for the TV audience, is that everybody in the show is a human, like a fully formed human, even though parts of their psyche is not fully formed, you know what I mean? Or their personality, they have to work on themselves.
Yeah.
In the same way that you're making a recipe, the same way that you're making a meal, what you're trying to put a restaurant together, it needs to all function properly as a team, and the individuals themselves are potentially broken.
Yeah.
I can't get enough of this program. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What's it like getting a script?
It's cool. This show, we get all of the scripts before we go to shoot. So
all of them?
Yeah.
The entire season's
yeah,
finished?
We'll get. They'll write all of it. They go off and write it. And then we get it a couple of weeks before we go out to Chicago. So we get to read it all and get to digest it before we get to set and start shooting. This season was different because this was the first time we got everything except for the last episode. Chris Storer, who created the show, he held on to that one for a little bit longer. So we were all itching to like know what is like what's the last script, and like, you know, you have a lot of questions, and so you ask him and he's just like, you know, he's like dropping, sprinkling like tidbits here and there, and you just kind of, I just want to know what it is. And then when we finally got the last one, it is very, it kind of like dropped the hammer, dropped the note, whatever the phrase is, it just became real and you're like, this is over. And then you start to get a little sad, start to like wonder what is life and get a little existential.
So this was the first season in which you and the rest of your fellow actors didn't know the full season-long storyline arc for your character until the very end, is what you're saying.
Kind of. But so this season, it's it takes place over the course of one day, and like the
sort of like The Pit?
Well,
in a way, where it's just one day in the life you're talking about?
Yeah, it's like that. And there's other things that kind of done that as well. And yeah, it's just sure. like a magnifying lens on like Murphy's Law. It's like it's just focused, centered around one service. So it has the form, the function kind of follows the form, where it's just like, we want to just show this place, this like its last like Hail Mary, trying to go for this star mm-hmm. and like putting everything into it. They don't have any money. All of their, like, they're just watching everything in the fridge kind of dwindle as the day goes. And it's just like any possible thing that can go wrong kind of happens.
Oh, boy.
So that's just kind of where it's like, it's one last stress on the way out. But yeah, so because of that, in the first seven of the eight episodes are kind of truncated into this moment. So it kind of, we needed what we had, what we needed to kind of execute. And like, if you have any questions, and they would give you answers. And
okay.
It wasn't that long into the shoot before we got the last episode. So okay. It wasn't like we didn't get it until like on the way out, where you're just like, all right, well, yeah.
Okay. And in terms of, you know, this season, as you just mentioned, so there's no standalone episodes similar to the one that you were clearly, you know, well known for, the Honeydew episode, right? Where you're in Copenhagen.
Yeah.
Which is a standalone episode that I think stands out. Do you get, you must get that a lot for you and your character and your,
yeah,
you're Emmy nominated.
That's true.
Let's not forget, you're an Emmy nominated actor. I'm sorry, I did not introduce you as that.
No, that's cool. I forget. I don't think, I don't even think about it.
Was that?
Yeah.
That episode was something that you submitted in its own way, or somebody did on your behalf, or?
They did it on my behalf. I think that's the beautiful thing about this show, is that because it is so focused about the humans who inhabit this kitchen, that they, I think season one, you just kind of dropped into this thing that's moving at 800 miles per hour. And then season two, they start to explain who these people are. And every season, there's an episode that kind of focuses in, takes you out of the kitchen, and kind of makes a person who's 3D somehow even more 3D or 4D. Mm-hmm. And I was grateful that they did that with Marcus, where you kind of got to understand this person. And it's also this kind of aha clicking moment. And it's a point of inflection for him in his career, because this is the thing that kind of, I think they ignite the spark season one and season two, meeting Luca in Copenhagen, having this experience, being out in this place on his own. That's kind of the thing that really like sends him on this journey of confidence to be like, I can do all these things in the kitchen myself. I want to do this. I can get after it. And it's a thing, like, I think you, it is funny because it's similar to sports, where you have these moments where you're practicing and there's like something you want to do, and you're doing it. And then there's just this small, granular, like natural click. We're like, oh, I get it now. And
right.
It just like breaks open. So it's cool that's kind of what those standalone episodes kind of function as for all the characters.
Well, it's also like sports in a fact where you don't know when that moment's going to arrive.
Yeah.
And your preparation is what sets you up for success.
Mm-hmm.
To nail the moment when it arrives out of nowhere without you seeing it coming.
Mm-hmm.
And what was that for your character in that episode, do you think?
I think that moment happens in the Honeydew episode. There's this moment, I think it's towards the end of the episode, where he's trying to practice plating this dessert that they had, Luca, the other chef in the kitchen, had showed him how to like make, and he'd kind of been struggling like through the episode. It's also cool because it's showing this relationship between a chef who can like teach and lead, where it's like both. It's kind, but it's not like too nice. He's not very warm and he's not cold. He's not being like mean or putting him off, putting him down, but he's not being overly encouraging. It's just like, so as a matter of fact, so he's like showing him. And then you see Marcus kind of get this dogmatic thing where he's like, I want to do this. I'm just drawn to do it. And so towards the end of the episode, he's like trying to figure out how to plate the dessert, and he kind of does it. He does it on his own. It's just only him in the kitchen, mm-hmm. and it's just alone. He does it, and it's like, I've got it. I've done it. I've accomplished this, and yeah, I have this bug, and I'm like, I can do this.
Do you have a bug now in real life for it?
For baking?
Yes.
You know, no. I'm. This is embarrassing. This is embarrassing. It's been 5 years.
I don't
years.
Mean to embarrass you here, but.
Yeah, well, no, you should, because every year I do love it. I as much as I learned from the process of making the show, because my character kind of starts not really knowing much, and he's just learning. So every season I'm practicing learning these things, and I really
didn't you it, do it in real life though. Like you actually went to
I worked at a, yeah I worked a stage at a bakery for 2 weeks at a really good one actually out in Copenhagen. Mm-hmm. It's Hart Bakery. Richard Hart, who's this incredible.
Damn.
He's like the godfather of modern sourdough.
You had an apprenticeship in real life with the godfather of modern
sourdough? Yeah, well, sourdough. I wouldn't call it an apprenticeship. It's kind of, this was before season one. So the show didn't exist. They kind of thought I was just a real chef who was really, really bad at his job. So I wouldn't call it an apprenticeship. They're just kind of like, I don't know. This guy kind of has no hope in here. Whoa. But there was a cool moment. I will say there was a cool moment where they were trying to teach me something. Mm-hmm. And I remember it was just like this simple thing was like very, because I grew up playing sports. And so sure. It was like, it reminded me of that, where it's just like, he was trying to teach me how to do something like the hand, the movements and everything. Sure. And then I can't even remember specifically what it was, but it was just one part of it. And I like got that part, and he felt like, he got it. Yes. Yes, I think he felt proud because he taught this person who had no hope in the kitchen. It went from 0% to 1%, so I think he felt proud.
Sounds like a real moment in the Bear for you.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like to
me. Yeah.
And so what'd you play growing up? Football? Basketball?
I played basketball, football, and ran track.
What'd you do in track?
I ran the 400 and the 4x4.
Dude.
Yeah, I was serious ridiculous.
Business right there.
Yeah, it was ridiculous is what it was.
What do you mean?
Just the longest sprint. It's like, thinking back on it now, I did enjoy it. It's just, I'd say it's ridiculous because it's like how you feel when you're done.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
What's tougher, acting or that?
Running the 400, 100%.
Okay. And what'd you play football?
I played high school and a little bit of junior college. I played high school. I played like kind of a little bit of everything. Okay. And then junior college, I played outside linebacker.
Did you play with anybody that actually went on to something, or?
I played at El Camino down the street in Torrance, and we were really good. I played with Kenbrell Tompkins, who he ended up playing for the Patriots. I played with who else? Mike Harris. I think he ended up going to Florida State, and then he ended up playing for the Jaguars. So it was a couple of guys who ended up making it to the league.
Yeah, I think you spent many a day cursing at Kenbrell Tompkins.
Well, Kenbrell Tompkins
watching the Patriots
famously caught the touchdown that Zolak did the "Where's the beef?"
Oh, okay.
Radio call.
Okay,
yeah.
But outside of that,
well, he wasn't great for us.
See,
well, I mean, yeah.
Sometimes, you know, but at least you played with him.
Yeah, and at that point, he was like a god amongst men. And
I bet. I tell you that.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. But I mean, yeah. Obviously, that's not the NFL, so.
But go ahead, TJ. Bring up.
I was just wondering about your connection with Tyler.
Oh yeah, so I went to I met Tyler in high school.
Tyler the creator.
Tyler the creator. Yeah, high school. Went to Westchester High down the street, and we met, funny enough, in drama class, and just kind of bonded over theater same kids. Sense of humor, sensibilities. Yep. And he was the person because I grew up playing sports. He was the first person to kind of encourage and cultivate going into arts, where he was like, "Oh man, like." I think you should do this. Not in those words, because we're teenage high school boys, so you don't like speak that clearly.
Right.
But it's just kind of guiding into that way, and then being around him, and then my other friend, Damo Genesis, who was also a part of Odd Future. Those are like those were my entry points into like getting into like more the arts.
Now, before I let you go, again, we have Lionel Boyce here. Marcus from FX is the bear. Here on the Rich Eisen Show, we had Oliver Platt on here, and we broke down the scene, you know, from the Christmas episode.
Oh yeah,
you know, with the you know, with the three fishes and
seven fishes,
and that was unbelievable. What scene were you a part of, where you're looking back on it, and you're like, that was art, that was a live play, that was something that when it was all said and done, you might have gone home, back to a trailer, and go, okay, that was real.
I think there's a couple of them. I think the obvious one is season one, episode seven, because the one entire episode is a winner. So it's just like as the episode progresses, the stakes get higher and higher, because you're like, I don't want to be the one to mess this up. Everything is going great. You just want to get through the takes, and we did. I think another one personally was, I think it was season three, maybe, there was a funeral for my character's mother, and it's Marcus is giving a eulogy at the church, and I think for as an actor, it's terrifying, because it's like there's a, you look and there's a page and a half monologue, and you're like, I gotta do this, and it's very emotional, so it's terrifying to me, because I feel like everyone else is obviously so great, and I'm like season to season, I feel like I'm progressing and I'm getting new challenges.
As a professional?
Yes. Talking? Yes.
And then you're referring to your other cast members who are watching you do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes you a little bit
even more nervous, because I like respect and think again, I think the world of every single person doing the show. So and I feel a sense of duty to play my part to keep the boat moving. But yeah, so it's like this, it's this big thing. And it's like, I think I hadn't done that before. So it was a new challenge, and how I felt after it did feel like, wow, yeah, like I did that. It's that high clicking moments. Like I've faced something that felt like the biggest fear, and it's now just become small because you've done it. And yeah, I think, yeah, that I guess I would say that was a moment where that kind of had that feeling.
That's pretty awesome. And what about something that you might not have been in, where you were potentially watching it because you were on set, or?
Well, there's like, I think just about everything they all do, Jeremy, Eben, Isle. The season four, the last episode of season four, there's a, again, it's like a, essentially it's a wonder, but it's a conversation between Carmi, Sid, and Richie, where Carmi, this is a spoiler, but we're on season five, so if you haven't watched it in season four, that's on you. That's your fault. But Carmi basically tells them that he's quitting the kitchen, and it's just like there's this roller coaster of it's like high, low, every single emotion and feeling is stepped out in this, and you're just watching a masterclass of acting, chemistry, and all these things colliding at once. And I look at that, and I've still like I would not want to sit in that driver's seat, and I've just marvel at, like, it's just a testament of how great of actors these people are and how great the show is.
Well, you're part of it, man. Don't discount that.
Okay, I won't.
You're an Emmy nominated Lionel Boyce here on the show. Emmy nominated. Okay, you're putting desserts together, chef.
Somehow,
like, you're doing it. And I love the show, and it's a pleasure to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
And Chris says hello to Kembrell if you run into him at any point in time.
Yeah.
And again, all episodes of the fifth and final season of FX is the Bear, available now on Hulu. You can binge watch it start to finish if you wish, or check it out on FX. Two episodes were dropped last week on Thursday, and a new episode each Thursday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific through August 6th. The Bear. It is genius. Watch all seasons. Yeah. If you already haven't, good to see you, Lionel. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
By the way, on the Rich Eisen Show, just want to let you know to hire right the first time with LinkedIn Hiring Pro. Get started by posting a job at linkedin.com/Eisen. Right here on the program, we'll hit on a couple of NBA stories that are breaking before Brian Windhorst joins us.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
So Save money on your next oil change with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Get a $15 O'Reilly gift card after rebate when you buy 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil for just $35.95. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. When it comes to your home, Pella Windows and Doors are the experts at taking care of you and your home. At Pella, they find the products that meet your needs and their experts install them. And that means working with a company that builds and installs a quality product with real pricing, real simple, really beautiful. And when a trusted name like Pella chooses to partner with the Rich Eisen Show, well, that says a lot. 0% financing options are available. Certain restrictions apply. Find your local Pella Windows and Doors showroom today at Pella.com/Eisen for details. Make life brighter with Pella Windows and Doors. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. What's old is new again. Again, my don't trade for Giannis take. It's back again. Because the Heat actually finally did it 6 years after they were thinking of doing it, and I counted them not to do it, and they didn't do it, and then the Bucks won with Giannis, and I looked like a fool. Don't forget, though, the team that beat the Heat in that finals that year were the LeBron Anthony Davis led Los Angeles Lakers. Right? And the crazy thing is, don't forget. LeBron and Anthony Davis teaming up was basically, hey, Clutch Sports is running the world. Yeah. LeBron's running the Lakers. Clutch Sports is running the world. LeBron wanted Anthony Davis, and guess what he got? Anthony Davis. And look what happened. They won together. Last ring of LeBron's career? Who knows? Unless they team up again in Golden State. And Shams says the latest news of what Draymond Green did with his contract opens that door.
Stays like a buffer.
For LeBron and Anthony Davis to team up with none other than Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Steve Kerr in Golden State, which gives you an idea of why Steve Kerr is like,
Stick around.
Sounds like sticking around might not be a bad idea. Again, Shams is saying, and when Shams says, we listen. The declining of his $27.7 million player option to become a free agent gives the Warriors flexibility to pursue LeBron and Anthony Davis via trade. James in free agency, Davis via trade to form a big four. Oh, man. If that happens, they run it back one more time, and Oklahoma City's got a Dimar now to go with Chet and Shea and everybody else, and Wembanyama is going to be more zen. You know? At some point, he will see the media. He says, never to again, and the revamped Timberwolves and what the hell the Nuggets might be up to and all that stuff. Okay, and what would happen with the now LeBron-less Lakers with Luka and Austin Reeves in the fold? What would that all mean? And the crazy thing about what's old is new again is, don't forget, LeBron coming to Los Angeles at all and then teaming up with Anthony Davis right here in Los Angeles. You know what that sparked? Don't forget. That sparked the Clippers having a light bulb going over their head and saying, what if we get our big two? What if we get Kawhi to come here? And Kawhi says, I'll go there if you get me Paul George.
That didn't work.
And the Clippers are like, meeting with him in Malibu at Doc's house, right? Looking at the Pacific Ocean and going, that sounds like a great idea. Let's make it happen. And in order for that to happen, they trade SGA and I've lost track of them.
At least six.
I've lost track of what else they sent.
A bunch of sixth graders.
To Oklahoma City, and look at what Oklahoma City is right now. And Paul George is in Philadelphia, and Kawhi is in Los Angeles still. And on this day, there's a red-hot rumor that the Clippers are going to send Kawhi back to Toronto. And get, of all people, a former Laker and Brandon Graham back here. Brandon Ingram, pardon me, right? Back here. I got Michigan on the brain with Dusty May going. Can you make any of this stuff up? And if that happens, Clipper fans,
give me the sheet.
What's it all for? What was it all for? What was it all for? Other than maybe, you know, you got the Intuit Dome toilets. And Kawhi.
They gave us hope in the bubble season, and then that just.
You know what I mean?
Apart. Yeah, it's tough. I thought I was being smart in 1999 when I moved to Los Angeles and said, no, I don't want to jump on this Lakers bandwagon because I was a Sixers fan. I can't do that. Let me root for this Clippers team. And when they get good, I can firmly cement my place on the bandwagon. But nope.
Or.
Still waiting.
Or is it smart to just cut bait, man?
Yeah.
Cut it.
Yeah.
This wasn't working. Kawhi, like,
I'm all
for
him. In
this town where it's all about the star players, hey, the Rams, we're going to get Myles Garrett on top of this guy and on top of this guy and on top of this guy. And the Lakers are going to get Luka on top of LeBron. And the Dodgers are going to get everybody going to the point where Del Tufo turns in his Yankee card because he's a total complete front runner.
No.
We're going to get Ohtani on top of Freeman, on top of Mookie. And the Clippers get Kawhi, and it's as if he's playing in Vermont, where maybe the trees that he was planting are.
Oh.
You know, honestly, what a whole heck of a nothing burger this would turn out to be.
Who are you
talking? But maybe it's the smart move to just say, you know what? We're finally going to get out from under all this, and we're going to start from scratch. Look what the Knicks just did. Everybody thought that they were crazy. What a crazy turn of events that LeBron and AD could get back together in Golden State with Steph and Draymond. And those two guys were the reason why the Clippers were like, we got to get our guys. And Kawhi might be returned to sender for a former Laker to come back here. Holy crap. Brian Windhorst is coming up to talk about it all.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
I'm Kiana, and I leveled up my business with Shopify. Once I figured out that Shopify was a thing, I never turned back. I can create a site with my eyes closed. Shopify thinks ahead of us, you know, and it thinks about the customer more than anything. Every day I'm thinking about some other new business, but Shopify is doing it to me because it's so easy to use. It's like I can't stop. I'm addicted.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.